The call came in just after midday. A large retail store. A stabbing. Suspect fleeing on foot. Employees screaming near the front doors. It was not a robbery at night or a fight behind a bar. It was a place built for weekend projects and home repairs. A place people brought their children. When officers arrived, the suspect was gone. A man in an orange apron lay on the concrete near the exit, blood spreading beneath him as co-workers stood frozen, unsure where to look. Paramedics worked fast, then slower. Someone asked if he was breathing. Someone else was crying into a phone. By the time the store was sealed off, the argument had already started outside. Retail crime, policy failure, courage, or recklessness. None of that mattered inside the taped-off entrance. A worker had confronted theft. A knife had ended his life. Everything after would become noise layered on loss. Chapter 1. Setup and Stakes. The Home Depot opened as it always did. Early morning light filtered through the tall windows. Contractors moved with purpose. Weekend shoppers followed signs overhead. The store floor was loud but familiar. Forklifts beeped, wood carts rattled. Employees checked inventory and answered questions about paint, lumber, and fittings. Blake Mose was scheduled to work that day. Co-workers later described him as reliable and calm. He was not a manager. He was not assigned to loss prevention. He wore the same apron as everyone else. His job was to help customers find what they needed and keep the store running. Retail theft was not new. Employees were trained on company policy. Observe, report, do not physically intervene. The policy was designed to prevent injury. It assumed distance would keep people safe. At some point during the shift, several individuals were observed moving quickly through the store with merchandise. Employees noticed. A manager was alerted. Security footage later confirmed activity consistent with shoplifting. What happened next unfolded in seconds. Near the front of the store, a verbal exchange occurred. Witnesses later differed on tone and wording. Some recalled raised voices. Others remembered a brief confrontation. What is established by video is movement toward the exit and a sudden escalation. Blake Mose was present during that moment. Whether he stepped forward on his own or spoke as part of a group was later debated. What is not debated is that he did not carry a weapon and did not strike anyone. A knife was produced by one of the suspects. The motion was fast. The strike was decisive. Mose collapsed near the exit as customers scattered. Screams echoed through the entrance. Employees called emergency services immediately. Managers followed protocol and attempted to clear the area. The suspects fled the store and disappeared into the surrounding area. Paramedics arrived within minutes. They attempted life-saving measures on the scene, then continued in the ambulance. Blake Mose was pronounced dead shortly after arrival at the hospital. Police sealed the store. Shoppers were escorted out. Yellow tape cut across aisles filled with unfinished purchases. Detectives began their work in a place not built for violence. By evening, candles and flowers appeared outside the store. Co-workers gathered in silence. The questions spread quietly at first. Why did he confront them? Why was there a knife? Why did policy fail to stop this moment? Chapter 2. Escalation and Reversal. The investigation began with video. Dozens of cameras captured different angles of the store. Detectives reviewed footage frame by frame. They tracked the suspect's movement through aisles and toward the exit. One individual was identified as the person who wielded the knife. Witness statements were taken from employees and customers. Accounts varied in detail, but the sequence was consistent. Suspected theft, verbal confrontation, sudden violence, flight. Police released limited information initially. They confirmed the use of a knife and the death of Blake Mose. They did not speculate on motive beyond the confrontation. Within days, a suspect was identified and arrested. Prosecutors charged the individual with murder. The charging documents cited surveillance footage, witness statements, and forensic evidence. Defense attorneys later raised questions about escalation and intent. Those arguments were made in court filings, not as established fact. Outside the legal process, the story took on a life of its own. Retail theft dominated headlines. Some commentators framed Mose as a hero. Others warned against encouraging workers to confront suspects. Corporate safety policies were scrutinized. Labor advocates argued that employees were being left exposed between theft and danger. Home Depot issued statements expressing condolences and reaffirming its non-intervention policy. the company emphasized that employees were instructed not to confront shoplifters. Critics argued that policy alone could not prevent human reaction in real time. The family of Blake Mose spoke publicly. They described him as dedicated and kind. They asked for accountability and change. They did not frame his actions as policy analysis. They framed them as loss. The investigation continued methodically. Detectives confirmed timelines. Forensic analysis supported the sequence seen on video. There was no evidence of provocation involving physical force by Mose. The case shifted from investigation to prosecution. The debate outside grew louder as the facts inside remained narrow and fixed. Chapter 3, Resolution and Aftermath. Court proceedings moved forward at a measured pace. Motions were filed. Evidence was reviewed. The case became one file among many in an overcrowded system, but it remained singular to those involved. Co-workers returned to work under increased security measures. Some transferred locations. Some left retail entirely. Training sessions were replayed with new emphasis. Do not engage now carried weight beyond policy language. Across California, retailers reassessed safety practices. Some increased security staffing, others restricted floor access to high theft items. Customers complained, workers adapted. The broader question of retail crime remained unresolved. Theft continued. Violent incidents remained rare but devastating. Blake Mose became a reference point in discussions that often stripped away context. In court, the focus stayed narrow. One defendant, one weapon, one fatal act. The jury would decide responsibility based on evidence, not debate. For the family, resolution was not defined by verdicts. It was defined by absence. Holidays passed, birthdays arrived without him. The final cost of that day was not measured in stolen merchandise or policy revisions. It was measured in a man who went to work expecting a normal shift and did not come home. The concrete floor was cleaned, the store reopened, the argument continued, the loss remained.